Checking in with Captains Kyle and Amber Maynor of the Quincy Salvation Army for an update on how they're coping during the COVID-19 crisis, and also a look ahead toward the holiday season. So, Captains, nice to see you both. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah. Our pleasure. I know it's been a trying time for everyone, but particularly for social service agencies, nonprofit agencies who are struggling to meet what is an increasing demand for your services. How are you coping there at Salvation Army?
Well, you said it right. It has been increasing. It's been about 15 to 20% new clients, since the pandemic. And what we've really noticed now is as soon as the pandemic hit, a lot of like the current, like reoccurring clients, they kind of stayed home, but we got 15 to 20% new clients, and now they're all coming back. So it's just a greater increase of, people needing help for many different reasons. So, we're trying to just keep up with it as best as we can, but it's just growing is what we can say.
Yeah. And it's been hard too. It's like with the increase of clients coming and people in need, we've been trying to get more food, through the food bank and things like that. But they've had to limit appointments due to so much need, so many people needing to get in and things like that. So we only have an appointment once a month, the first Thursday of every month. So we can only get a certain amount of weight when we go, and we can only get all our fresh things at that one time. So it's been hard because we try to give out fresh, fruits, vegetables, things like that. And it's really only the freshest the first week after we get them. So we're always in desperate need for, fresh fruits, vegetables, milk, butter, cheese, things like that, that go quickly right after our first, the first week of the month. So.
Yeah. The folks that you are seeing, are these folks that have been, impacted in terms of unemployment and are still not working because of the crisis?
Yep. Yeah, we are starting to see an increase even in people asking for rent assistance as well, because they're kind of at their wits' end of, the savings that they've had. So now, they're more concerned about, they don't want to be behind because they've been so faithful and good in the past that they don't want anything against them. So they're trying to reach out already for assistance. So
yeah, I know the moratorium on evictions is due to expire soon. Mm-hmm. The governor has said he's going to let it expire. So I guess it would be up to the legislature to act to extend that at some point. So I'm sure that's a concern. And now coming into the winter months as well, folks are going to start to see their heating bills go up. So they'll need assistance with that as well. So it's almost like a perfect storm of problems.
Yeah. And that's what I said, we're trying to prepare for those things, as much as we can and help, make the most, needs, like meet the most needs for the people who come in through rent and food and, trying to offer the hope, that they need, it's so much with crazy and fear and uncertainty during these times. And, we want to be able to even just provide, we don't provide just groceries. It's like, we deliver, hope to them. And that's one of the things it's like, I always say, it's like, we're not just giving out food and saying, here, go, but it's really meeting a need, deep within them and just being able to provide food for them or have, heating. We've already started to help with like oil assistance and things like that. And so just to prepare ahead of time before the storm comes, I guess, So.
Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you able to offer any in-person services yet at your Baxter Street facility?
So we've been doing church services out in our parking lot, actually, as the weather has allowed us. So it's been different to say. Mm-hmm. You can hear all the traffic and the trucks going by, but it's still a time where we can still be socially distanced and still see our church family and worship together. That's something that we've really missed, I think, with all of COVID, is just those, personal relationships that you can't get too close to people anymore. It's a start. We have not done any of the other church programs yet, as far as like children's programs with like music education or troops or anything like that, just because we're waiting on guidelines and just really just trying to be safe first. The kids miss it, but safety comes first.
Of course, yeah. Volunteer wise, are you able to have your volunteers into the center to help?
We just started getting our volunteers back just a few weeks ago, the first or second week in September. So we slowly have had it. And right now we're trying to still minimize, how many people we have just because it is smaller space, in the food pantry and things like that. So we try to keep it to one or two volunteers per day just to kind of keep it. And then additionally, like Kyle and I, and then our social worker, Braza, that we are able to kind of just keep things going and stuff. So it's busy, you know, but, you know, with everyone who's working together, it's really good. So, but we, you know, concerned about, you know, the volunteers for the upcoming Christmas season. Usually we utilize a lot of people. And so we're just a little concerned about that in the few coming months. So.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that if we can. I know that you're really trying to get a jump on things with your annual holiday kettle drive. Will that still be happening this year?
We're praying so. I mean, that's why nationally the Salvation Army has done the Rescuing Christmas campaign, which is a push earlier than normal to try and help people know the awareness of the need that's happening, and then also to solicit donations ahead of time, because we are going to be impacted by actually having the tripod kettle stands at the grocery stores and retail locations. I mean, we've seen the trend where less people are shopping indoors now, mostly online. So there's a whole lot less foot traffic. But then also, we don't really know if all of the stores are going to allow us to stand at this time. There's only been a couple locations that have said yes, and everything else is still like in the process, seeing if it's worth the risk, which, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, we want to limit this as much as possible. There's many people out there high risk, and, you know, we don't want anything to happen to anybody, but we do want to follow, you know, procedures to make sure that we can still allow this to happen, because there's going to be people hurt if we don't raise the funds. Then we're not able to help as many people in those other trying times that they need us to come alongside them.
Yeah, it would seem probably your volunteers, your bell ringers, would be more at risk actually than folks making donations, right? Because they're standing there for extended periods of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they will be far enough away from the stand where people, when they donate, they won't be there, and we will be sanitizing after every donation.
Okay.
We do have some of those, and, you know, of course they'll be wearing a mask, and I mean, probably a scarf and hat and everything else to cover up. So there shouldn't be much exposure or whatnot. But I mean, we do trust that, you know, everybody will follow procedures and do it in accordance to safety.
Yeah. But it is a big, concern just with, you know, some stores have already said no, that we cannot stand there, and particularly here in our area too, one of our larger, better locations has said no.
Which one, Captain?
Oh yeah, well, the Roach Brothers is not, it's corporately not allowing anyone to stand.
But it's understandable.
Yeah, we understand.
It's very understandable. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, so it's a corporate agreement, you know, through all their stores throughout, you know, the area and stuff. And so we understand they don't want to have anyone at risk and stuff like that. But that's one of our better stands, and we've been there with them for a long time, and we appreciate them so much. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, just know that that's going to impact us greatly, because as that is our one of our top, you know, actual locations where our physical red kettle's at. But we know that there's other options this year that we're trying to push to, with the, like, virtual kettles and other things like that.
Sure. I know that even last year you struggled to reach your goal, you know, before the pandemic. So I'm sure this year you're very concerned about how that might impact the way you're able to do what you do. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, of course, a lot of natural disasters. I know where the Salvation Army is assisting on the Gulf Coast with the storms, on the West Coast with the wildfires, and of course, internationally as well. So the limits are being strained, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's our biggest thing is, you know, the Salvation Army is worldwide, and it's like, you know, we want to be able to help as much as we can, and we want to be able to provide, you know, the needs for people, whether it's food or whether it's, you know, like rent or oil, or even just that emotional, you know, support to them as well, the emotional and spiritual support, because, you know, people, you know, might not have any other family members to be the person who's there, you know, giving them a hug or offering a word of encouragement in their deep, you know, dark times, really. So it's like we were trying to be out there to help and to be a force to, you know, to see good, you know, in the world that has so much stuff, like you said, that's not so good right now, but.
Doing the most good, right? Isn't that the mission?
Yeah, it is, you know, so, yeah.
Here in Quincy, for folks who would like to help, what are some of the best ways that they could do that?
Well, there's a lot of things, you know, so one of the first things is, you know, we're still anticipating, like we said, the Red Kettle campaign, how many stores we'll have out. We do, you know, still hopefully we'll have some volunteers who will be willing to do that, whether it be family groups or, you know, church groups that, you know, maybe alternate, you know, who stands for the whole day or something. They take hours or shifts or something. But we also are going to need people to help set up our boxes for our food boxes for Christmas distribution. You packing the boxes, picking up stuff, like, you know, all of those kind of things. And then also we do deliver food to people who are elderly, people who are high risk, people who do have COVID. We do deliver food baskets to them. And so with Christmas, we do deliver to them as well. So we would need people to help, you know, to deliver to the people who can't get out. Additionally, probably.
The Angel Tree tags, if people would like to sponsor buying toys and clothing for children who are in need, we're still going to continue to do our distribution this Christmas, because I mean, Christmas is still coming, even with COVID, that we are still going to collect and distribute all those supplies for families in need.
Okay. I'm curious, have you been able to utilize, you know, this type of technology, this virtual remote technology at all to meet people's spiritual needs, perhaps?
Yeah, we've done like online Bible studies through this. Okay. We have used like online worship services, and we even just had like an advisory board meeting, you know, for the local business members within the Quincy community. Mm-hmm. I think some of them did the Zoom. Is that what you did? Well, yeah, the Zoom was available for that. So we've given opportunities for that. So we're trying to be, you know, able to meet the needs of people who are inside and can't get out and things like that.
So. Right. Yeah. So many religious organizations have switched, you know, pivoted, as they say now, over to the virtual platforms to be able to offer services to folks who either aren't comfortable, you know, going out or physically can't for whatever reason. Do you think it's something that will last, you know, post pandemic for the Salvation Army?
Some things I think will. I mean, because we noticed there's no commute when you just do the Zoom meeting. So, I mean, we can spend more time with substance rather than just like traveling, you know, mm-hmm. places or whatnot. So some things I think are here to stay, but it would be still good to have a rotation between, you know, online Zoom meetings and, you know, in person.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It takes the factor of bad weather out of the element too, you know, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. True. But there's nothing like being in person, right? And then so many people, you think about it, you know, who live by themselves or, you know, family members are live far away and there's really no one else. And so like the church is their family, mm-hmm. Or the programs that they attend, you know, mm-hmm. maybe they don't come on a Sunday, but they come to like women's group or to men's basketball or something like that. And so to be able to see those people who, you know, who mean so much to them, you know, face to face, it really does mean a lot. And so you know, we are trying to make those opportunities. So like we said, we've been meeting outside, so our neighbors might hear our brass band playing. Yeah. Good wake-up music, not too early though. So 11 a.m., you know, if you hear some brass music, it's usually us, so.
No, I think that's true. And I, you know, some of the counselors that I've talked to are worried about what they're calling the hidden pandemic of isolation, you know, and loneliness, and even folks who might not be tending to their own physical health, you know, because of fear, basically. So it's going to have long-lasting impacts, I think, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I said we have some church members who usually would come to women's group, and they're in their 80s and their stuff, and they're like, we haven't been out in six, you know, in the 6 months, we've only been out twice, but they said, we just want to come back. So, you know, it's like, they're lonely and they want to be out. So we're trying to make it safe for them and not rush it either. So making sure we have all the proper protocols and, you know, things in place so that no one can get it, you know, so.
Yeah. And as both of you well know, you know, parents are struggling right now as well to, you know, make sure their kids are going to their virtual school as well as in-person learning while you're still trying to do your own jobs too. So there's a lot of stress and a lot of families right now too.
Yeah. I know. We appreciate teachers so much more. Yeah.
So anything else that we should let folks know about right now for the Salvation Army? Again, we should recap the Rescue Christmas campaign, I think, and let folks know how that's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Rescue Christmas, I know, like I said, it's the 100 days before Christmas. It's really a push to just kind of get people online and to really understand, you know, that there's a big need. The anticipation across the USA is an increase of 155% of people in need. So that's what we're looking at, that we're going to have to serve that many people. But a decrease is anticipated of 50% of our Red Kettle effort, which is our largest fundraising effort for the Salvation Army. For most places, our only, because people know us, we've been doing it for so many years, you know, and so really this is a mission to rescue Christmas so that it's not fallen to the wayside. And it's not another thing that is a dark day of gloom for people, you know, so much has happened, chaos, and we want to be able to offer hope to them and to give them a joyful Christmas holiday season. And so with, you know, being able to provide either dollars or donations of food or donations of like clothing and, you know, adopting angel tree tags and stuff, we'll be able to help the virtual kettles. Maybe you can have some competitions between sides of families or departments in, you know, workplaces that can really have a virtual kettle and see who wins, you know, and they can be awarded the golden bell or something. But, you know, there is a big need, and you know, we're anticipating, because everybody's the effect of COVID on everyone, mm-hmm. That there will be a decrease, but if everyone could give out of what they can give, like, you know, dollars or material goods or even volunteering your time, mm-hmm. You know, that's when things happen, you know. So yeah, so hopefully people help us rescue Christmas and know that it's a mission that needs everyone. And that's really kind of what our push is that, you know, let's continue to make Christmas joyful for those in need, and to just continue to deliver hope and joy this season.
For technically now, how does it actually work? Is it through your social media? Is it through a website? You know, how do folks actually donate to the virtual campaign?
So there's various ways that they could do it. There's some easy ways such as Apple Pay, Google Pay. They can go on and just donate to the Salvation Army. They can even say to Alexa, Alexa, you know, donate to the Salvation Army, and then specify how much. Also, they can go online at salvationarmyma.org and select a donation. There's different denominations of donations, or there's also the opportunity to just enlist in, they call it, they enlist into Love's Army, and you give a monthly donation. Oh. And you can, you know, set that up if you're interested to keep that ongoing thing, and maybe you're forgetful and you just mm-hmm. want to do it and set it up, you could do it that way. And then also we'll be doing some online Angel Tree wish list things with the Walmart. And so we'll be having that one here with the Salvation Army of Quincy, which you could look it up on Walmart. So.
Okay, very good. And that is that ongoing right now, or is there a start date for
The Walmart? Yes. So it is up, and there's just a couple things on there right now because we haven't officially got all of the wish list for the kids yet. So there's a couple items that just tested out now, but in the next couple of weeks, I'd say by the next 2 weeks, we'll be having everything up there.
Okay. And does the Salvation Army participate in the Amazon Smile program? You mentioned so many folks are shopping online. It's a great way to just make a donation at the same time, right?
Yes, I believe that we already are signed up for that, so people can use the Smile to help donate to us as well.
Okay, very good. And I know a phone number for the Quincy office, 617-472-2345. And are there actually folks in the office on a daily basis?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So we are here every day, Monday through Friday, and we do have our doors locked, but we have a doorbell that's up, and we keep the watching, so we're always like there and we're answering the phones, but because of limited staff, it might ring if you leave a message, you know, just depends on how busy the pantry is that day and what's going on and stuff. But usually we'll return phone calls in the afternoon.
Okay, very good. Anything else you think we should add right now?
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Of course, no, it's our pleasure. Hopefully we help get the word out for you a bit. Please, you know, reach out here. We'd be happy to help QATV to let the community know what's going on or any specific needs that you have at any time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you both. Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.